Winner, winner, chicken dinner. How about that?
Hamp and OB.
Oh, you smell like a winner.
And welcome in. Hamp and OB is sponsored by your local Chevy dealers. And the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Andy Mazur along with the guys here after what would you consider an ugly win, 24-17. The final, the Bears do score the final 24 points in the game and get the win. It's probably not what we thought we might see from Caleb Williams.
Not even close, Andy. Not even close.
You get a win.
Hey, look, and we apologize about not being on right after the game. Obviously, Biden and the White Sox were done 2 months ago, but yet, here we are. And I got to tell you, I haven't cooled off, OB. I haven't cooled off. This new era of, you know, the Shane Waldron offense featuring Caleb Williams and all the great skill. Hey, you want me to read what happened? It wasn't good enough. But you know who I hang this one on, OB? Yeah, it's a win. But, folks, you know how lucky we are to get out of this car wreck with a victory? You hang this on Matt Eberflus and his genius idea of not requiring his starters to do anything for almost a month. 22 straight days.
22 days, folks.
Unbelievable.
They did nothing. They played today in the opener, and what did they do? They did nothing. Folks, this is our quarterback who was supposed to be, well, you've heard it over the airwaves and write and print, whatever, okay? We average, folks, running and passing against the Tennessee Titans, a 6-11 team that 6 wins and 11 losses last year.
A bust-out team that got their coach fired.
We're at home, opener, with supposedly our answer, period. He's our answer, that's it. And we don't play these people in the exhibition season. We don't get them ready to play football. And you tell me, folks, you think they were ready to play today? Do you really think they were? We averaged running and passing, folks, in 4 quarters. Per quarter, we averaged 37 yards. Let me say that again. Running and passing. The opening game against a team that is god-awful. They have a brand-new coach. Their coach got fired. They're a horrible football team. They come in to our home. Our home, folks. And did you watch that today? Caleb Williams, 2 passes, bounces them into the receiver. Offensive line. Did they throw a block? I'm telling you what, this guy, Matt Eberflus, and I think Dan's going to jump all over him. I'm going to tell you what, this was so frustrating, folks, to sit there and watch these professional players. And by the way, I'm not going to put all the blame on them. I'm putting it on Eberflus and his coaching staff. How the hell, you know why you play exhibition games? To get ready for the season. That's why you play them. You get your timing down. You get your efficiency down. What does he do? He doesn't play anybody. We didn't play our play. They never did anything for the up until this game today. That was 22 days. And you know what they did, folks? Nothing. And did you see how they played today for 4 quarters? Nothing. Darn aggravated. It blows my mind that we have a coaching staff and going into the 24th season, we've got a great record. I mean, a great record of teams that we're playing against. They're all losers. All losers the first 9 games. And I'm going to tell you, look what you saw today. Special teams and defense. You think we're going to go another 16 games winning games like that? I don't think so.
It's going to be tough. We got to go to Houston next week, and they are 1-0 after going into Indianapolis. Here's the thing that drives me crazy. Okay,
Dan, it's 37 yards running and passes, running and passing a quarter.
It wasn't that good.
With the greatest quarterback in the history of college to come out.
It wasn't that good. Here's how our possessions wound up. And you're saying, why are you guys screaming? They're 1-0. They won. It's not good enough. They need to be prepared to win through thick and thin. And yeah, they got lucky today, and Will Levis showed why nobody wants him. Okay, he gave us the game, but we first drive punt, second drive punt, third drive punt, fourth drive right before the end of the half, we got a field goal. Luckily, it was a 9-play, 28-yard drive. Do the math. 9 plays, 28 yards. 3 yards, a play, essentially.
On third down efficiency, let me just jump in real quick, Dan. We were, in the first half, we were 0-for-6. We couldn't convert on third down in 30 minutes of football.
Second half, punt, punt, a field goal, a punt, and run out of downs on the end of the game. You're going to tell me that is why you're spending all this time, you know, talking about, you know, the potential greatness of the new coaching staff, all these new players. Keenan Allen, $22 million. DJ Moore got a new contract, $26 million. And you get punt, 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 field goal, punt, 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 field goal, field goal. Folks, I'm telling you, this is on Eberflus. You better get your head out of you know where and figure out it's time you start demanding this team not only prepares, but they are willing to execute in a game. Daniel, and I know we shouldn't be this mad, but it makes me sick.
It's beyond aggravating. 22 days until this day today. 22. Folks, they've done nothing. And again, let me say it again. You go to training camp, you go to exhibition season to get your team ready to play. What does this what does this guy do? Eberflus? He sits them. Who are you worried about losing? Please tell me who, coach. Your offensive guard, a center, a wideout receiver, somebody? Everybody else is playing. Patrick Mahomes is playing. All the other quarterbacks are playing. And you sit a kid. If anybody that needed to be out there in the exhibition season, it was our quarterback. He was pathetic today. Total, as a team. 11 guys on offense for 4 quarters playing against a 6-win and 11-loss team. The opener with this greatest quarterback that we got, and we averaged 37 yards running and passing. And these guys are making millions upon millions of dollars per year. There's something wrong, pal.
Hey.
There's something radically, radically wrong here, Danny.
You got it. And, you know, 60 minutes of play and we get 3 field goals. Somebody needs to be called out. And I'm telling you, it's that guy that didn't want to play anybody for the last 3-plus weeks.
You know, it wouldn't be such a crazy, far-fetched thought unless it happened last year, too. They got off to an 0-4 start because of it.
Andy, I'm so damn mad. And I was trying to talk to myself, just try to be calm at it. But I lost it, and I apologize, folks, or whatever. And Dan, I see you're the same way. You know what it takes. You know what you have to do, the commitment, etc. And you saw what the hell went out here on the lakefront. I mean, that is beyond embarrassing, folks. Beyond.
We know what it looks like. We didn't see anything close to it today.
Bears did win it, by the way. It's 24-17, the final. They win it from special teams and defense, and they scored the last 24 points of the game. Blocked punts and also an interception return that was a gift.
And another interception to close out the Titans' last futile attempt to try and get back in the game. The defense, hey, we're going to talk about it, but we're just saying, all this is about, the new era of Chicago Bear offense. Yeah, where is it?
It was not there. What are you talking about, Danny? You averaged 37 yards a quarter? 37 yards running and passing? My God.
And what made it really bad? We got beat at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball the first 3 quarters. That's unacceptable.
We will discuss it all. We'll welcome your calls as well. 312-981-7200. Hampton OB is sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Let's get into the newsroom.
Hampton OB.
If you're going to dream,
it was all a dream.
You may as well dream big.
This dream is crazy. I wake up and it's 2044. LaGrange Road was still under construction. Mitchell Trubisky was still a backup quarterback. Caleb Williams is calling me trying to ask what he should write for his Hall of Fame induction speech. And I said, how would I know? I'm not a quarterback. Text a quarterback that's in the Hall of Fame. He goes, there's none from the Bears in the Hall of Fame.
You gotta be kidding me.
The Hampton OB Show.
We are in a position to possibly see something really, really special.
Brought to you by ChevyTribeChicago.com.
The Caleb Williams era begins today.
Looking downfield, nothing there. Spins away. Throws on the move.
So stand by as I wrangle up some Bears.
Go Bears!
Hampton OB and me starts right now.
And Hampton OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. That was our thoughts before the game today, and the Bears do win at 24-17. But
got a lot of work to do. Yeah. I mean, and we didn't do it when we were supposed to do it, right, OB, in the last 3 weeks?
There's no question about it, Dan. They can't run and hide from this. There's no way. I mean, it's nice to celebrate that we won the game. But, boy, we're talking about a lot of work. Again, let me say it again. We beat a 6-11 team, and we're playing at home with a whole new revised offense with a supposedly, again, the quarterback of the future, second coming of Patrick Mahomes. Well, where the hell did it go today? Okay, I'll say one more time. These stats are staggering to me. Running and passing with our offense today against that miserable team, 37 yards running and passing a quarter, folks, and we won a football game in the National Football League.
A total of less than 150 yards for the entire contest. And when you stack on that, you know, all the help from Mr. Velus Jones, well, that's how you find ways to lose. Miraculously, we got some turnovers. We find a way to win. Let's get to the calls.
312-981-7200. Leading us off is Mark in Broadview. You're up. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, guys. Glad to hear you again. And I feel the same way. Two things that Dan Hampton had said last year about preparation and coach spirit. And I don't think he played anybody in the preseason. And Beijing was 4-0. I think at halftime, if Mike Dicker was the coach, he would have sat Williams down and put Beijing in there, who was 4-0 and had rhythm.
Well, yeah. Here's the thing. Yeah, you know what Coach Dicker would have done. Who knows? But I think what you're saying is, hey, Bajent was so much more efficient during the preseason. Maybe that would have been a good time to kind of, you know, give him a little dress down and say, hey, come over here and watch what we're doing, and let Bajent, you know, to see if he had some success. I'll be the first one to tell you, I think that would have been devastating to this kid's ego. And, you know, his you know, idea of, oh, I'm going to be the new Chicago Bear quarterback of the future and all that. And maybe a little premature. But, you know, sooner or later, you're going to have to start saying, okay, OB, you didn't like some of those throws. On third and fourth down, he threw it in the ground a couple of times. And to me, I think that's his mechanism for just getting the ball out but not throwing an interception. The kid is so ultra conscious about not turning the ball over on third and fourth down. You know how many times he threw an interception in the last 2 years?
Well, then, guess what, Dan?
Never. Then he never threw one.
He's playing in the wrong game then. If he is that afraid of throwing an interception or whatever, that's a negative thought in his brain. Everything's got to be positive. If he's worried about every time he drops back there and he's going to throw an interception, we got the wrong quarterback, and by the way, we got the wrong coaching staff. I'll tell you, this guy Eberflus and his coaching staff, folks, there's 29 of them. And you tell me, and I go back to what, you know how horrible we looked offensively? We were beyond horrible, okay? And the miserable team that came in here, and they gave us a hell of a game, and we went on some miracle plays? Come on.
There's no question. Tennessee, I mean, they were so much better prepared and coached in the first half. They built that lead 17-0. We got a field goal, okay, 17-3. We get back out. You know what we do the very first series? We get the ball, And we get a first down, and then we get a delay of game, and then we get a sack, and then we're third and 20, and we get another sack. And this is how you're down 17-3, and you get your first possession, and this is how you're going to respond? Are you kidding me? And luckily, you know, a few plays later, we got the block punt, and that turned everything around. Daniel Hardy, by the way, is the kid that made that play. He made a lot of splash plays in the preseason. And a couple of guys on defense, T.J. Edwards. T.J. Edwards, I think 16, 17 tackles.
He was all over the place.
I mean, it was like the second coming of Lance Briggs. I mean, he was a thumper. Tremaine Edmonds, he was kind of lost the first half standing up. And again, they weren't ready to play. The offensive line of the Titans was manhandling us. And one of my buddies texted me and said, you know what our offensive line is good at? Doing backwards somersaults. I don't think I've ever seen so many guys get run over in a football game. Did you, OB?
Well, no. I'm just going to go back to the coaching. I mean, what you saw out there, thank God we were playing the team that we were playing to open up a 17-game schedule. And again, you know, we don't play 160-some games, folks. You got to be ready to go from the get-go. And he never had this team ready. He never. And if he says it, or one of his coaches said we were ready to play, you're a liar.
312-981-7200, the number. Happen to be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Chevy dealers, Dan Hampton's defensive player of the game.
He's got time to pump, now running out of time, and stays on his feet momentarily. Finally chased down by Daryl Taylor. Bears traded for Taylor from Seattle at the end of the preseason. He was in there.
Hampton OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Who brought it today? That was Daryl Taylor. Yep. And that is sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, the card to bring through it all. And, Daryl Taylor was a disruptor today, and that was really good to see.
I got
to
tell you, we haven't had a guy, you know, Khalil Mack, he was a left, you know, he played left end, and it was a little different. Daryl Taylor today, number 52, coming around the back door, he made a number of great plays, and obviously he was the one that, you know, forced the fumble.
But, good balance, Danny.
Oh, boy, I tell you what, Montez Sweat, didn't see much out of that, but Andrew Billings had a couple of really nice rushes. Gervon Dexter, a couple of good plays late in the game in the fourth quarter, a couple of really nice pass rushes. And, you know, once everything kind of turned and we started getting the upper hand, especially on defense, you know, that defensive line kicked it up about three notches, where was that, you know, at 12:05? You know,
Danny, you know,
can't wait.
We got to wait. You know, who should have kicked it up? Once the punt was blocked back for a touchdown, and the fans were going crazy trying to get him going and whatever have you. And again, offensively, the reality of it, you look at it, what we did, we didn't do anything, Andy. We didn't. We couldn't convert on third down, even though everything was, I mean, they were getting the breaks, they were getting everything, but we still weren't in command offensively, play-to-play, series-to-series.
Bears do get the win 24-17 over the Titans. Back to your phone calls, and we'll pick it up here with Jim and Niles. You're up with Happen OB. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, hi. Dan and OB, it's a privilege to be talking to you guys. I just want you to know that's why you guys have the best post-game shows, because you know what the fans are thinking. I was screaming at the top of my lungs. I know it's only first game of the year. The fire of this guy. He should have been gone by the end of last year. All he is a defensive coordinator. Just want to thank you for thinking about how we feel as fans. Thank you so much, guys.
Hey,
good
thanks,
to hear
Jim.
You back.
Thanks.
Take care.
Hey, Jimmy.
Yep,
no, pardon?
Yeah, he just jumped off the line, but go ahead.
Yeah, and thank you for the call and those words. And I'm going to tell you what, Eberflus, he's got to take somebody. Somebody in that front office got to take a long, hard look at him and that staff and how they prepared this team for this game. Thank God we were playing the Tennessee Titans, a 6-11 team, in our opener. It was what you saw today, folks, was a disgrace. We won the game. And again, congratulations to a minor saying that. But if you go play by play, down by down, quarter by quarter, and you're a tactician of this game, and you follow it, you see it, we were not ready to play. If we would have played a decent football team, we'd have been killed.
And you got to hang this on Shane Waldron, the offensive coordinator. You know, we took look and Jim, appreciate you saying we are the voice of the fan, but that's why you know we look at these games and they won, yay! No. Hey, next week. That's going to separate the men from the boys. The Texans are for real. The last time they played in Houston, the number one defense in football was the Cleveland Browns. I think they hung 46 on them or something crazy like that. We better be ready to play football. Today, we weren't. And Shane Waldron, you ought to be embarrassed. You had 6 months to come up with a game plan where you can utilize three of the finest receivers in football.
Yes.
DeAndre Swift, you got the greatest quarterback come out in the draft in the, 5 years, 10 years? Who knows? He's the most celebrated player at that position since, Andrew Luck 15 years ago? And this is what we get? Three field goals? Less than 150 yards? You need to look in the mirror, boy.
All right, back to the phones we go. That's the truth. That's the truth.
That's woo.
Let's head out to Elgin and welcome in Teofilo. Teofilo, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, DH and OB? Love the show. You guys got the best Bears show, and that the offense doesn't score. But thank God to the defense and Mr. Edwards. He was a wolf hunting for sheep. And it's going to be a long, tough season, to be honest. Eberflus, or whatever his name is, he's got to go, man. And that's it. That's all I got to say. And hello, Chicago. And I love the show. God bless both of you guys.
Thank you, Teofilo.
Well, you know, when you want to know, ain't nobody going to get fired. But it's you know, and how many times did you hear this when you were playing OB? Every day, you either get better or you get worse. And obviously, the 3 weeks we took off, we got worse. The entire football team regressed in my mind. Even the defense.
Running around in shorts.
Yeah. With
give me a break.
Foam headsets on, you know. And but back to Eberflus. You know, this is year three. Hey, the gloves are off. It's about put up or shut up time. And, you know, he can't be moaning and whining about, well, I ain't got the right. Hey. They're paying a lot of money. They got a lot of players. And I got to tell you, Poles, for blowing a bunch of decisions in the last couple of years, you know, like Chase Claypool and that center we got from Green Bay that was worthless.
Lucas Patrick.
Yeah. But, hey, Daryl Taylor, folks, I'm telling you, he's a player. I'm telling you, he's bona fide. So there's some good things, some stuff you can take out of this game and start to kind of project it as this defense starts to kind of find its way. But both of these offenses,
the offense has got to find its way, Dan.
I agree.
Wouldn't it be great to say, talk about a receiver or a running back or a quarterback who really gave it their all today and fought all the way to the last second of the game? Is there one there? No, there isn't.
You know, and so much of the time we were sitting kind of like on the edge of our chairs saying, okay, the first half was awful. Now we're going to do it. And you know, we implode. Drive after drive after drive, punt, 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 punt. And it wasn't until we got a huge play, Daniel Hardy blocking the punt, scoring on it. Boom. All of a sudden, now the defense catches fire. The offense still standing around with their thumb in their ear and never understood. Hey, with this challenge, you know, it's 60 minutes for a reason, folks. You know, at some point, you better get out there and you better start making things happen. We never even got close to making things happen.
Dan, the numbers show it. The first half, converting on third down, folks, we were 0-6. Not one time in the entire first half, first quarter, second quarter, did we convert on third down. And then at the end of the game, and I'll say it, this is probably the fourth or fifth time, I don't know how in the hell it is that you can average running and passing 37 yards a quarter and you win a game in year 2024 in the National Football League. That's next to impossible, if not totally impossible, but we did it.
I'll sneak another caller in before we get to the bottom of the hour news. We'll go out to Elmhurst, say hi to Rob. Rob, you're up with Hampton OB.
Hey, Happen OB, happy new football season. I agree with you both on the lack of preparation. Danimal, I ran into an old teammate of yours, Willie Goff, at the Chicago Dogs game. One of the things he talked to me about was they don't know what do-a-days are. They're like baby to everything. And OB, I'm sure you went through do-a-days. Guys, what do you think about whether or not they should go back to do-a-days?
Well, unfortunately, the inmates are running the asylum now. They basically outlawed it, and the players' union is kind of holding all the cards. So I don't think they'll ever go back to it. But it doesn't change the fact that with you get that one practice, man, you better make it count. And obviously, you know, not only did we not get any snaps in the final preseason game for all of the starters, we must have been standing around twiddling our thumbs the last couple of weeks, too, because there was nothing, cohesive.
They did nothing. Nothing.
The offensive line, on a scale, you said, what would I give them? The offensive line, I'd give them a D-. A D-. And the only reason I wouldn't give them an F is we actually won a game, and our quarterback didn't get, beat to death. But the receivers, Keenan Allen dropped that one ball for a touchdown. I mean, this is a guy that was an 8-time Pro Bowler, and you drop your first chance at scoring a touchdown. It was a stone cold drop. I tell you what, DJ Moore is the only guy we got that kind of gives you a spark.
Right.
And I don't know the receivers. Dunze, he was kind of MIA. This was a crap game plan, and this is on Eberflus / Shane Waldron.
The 29 coaches, they're all in it together, Danny. And I'm going to tell you that, folks, I was expecting something totally and completely 180 the other way. I thought they'd come out with fire, rip roaring, going after people. I thought they'd be throwing a ball down the field. I thought they'd be attacking the end zone. What the hell? We did nothing. We didn't blitz. We didn't do anything.
312-981-7200, the phone number to call. If you're there right now, please hang tight. We're going to get to the news here in just a moment. Happen OB is sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado. It's the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Loading up that right side of the offensive line. On third down and 6. Here they come. Gordon's coming. Levis gets wrapped up. Flings it ahead. It's picked off. Tyreek Stevenson will give the Bears the lead on another defensive play.
Courtesy of Fox Sports. Happen OB sponsored by your local Chevy dealer, ChevyDriveChicago.com, and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Bears do get the win, 24-17. Andy Mazur alongside the guys here, and we talked about the total offense, 148 yards. The special teams and the defense, they combined for 64 yards of returns, including the block punt. And that one we just heard.
That was DeMarcus Walker, who really wasn't much of an impact today. He was the guy around the quarterback forcing that errant throw. So good for him.
I don't know when the last time I saw a game that was played so poorly by our offense, and I couldn't tell you when. And I'm as serious as you could be. My God, our quarterback, that kid was awful. The offensive line was awful. And my God, we won a football game.
All right, lots.
Actual football game that counts. I'm still stunned.
No, I can see it in your eyes. Lots of folks wanted to talk to you guys here. Let's get back out to the fans and go to Berwyn and say hi to Frank. Frank, you're up with Happen OB. Go ahead, bud.
Hey, how you guys doing? It's great to see that another Chicago Bear made the Hall of Fame. It was a great era of football in the 80s. The other question I have to ask is, when they fire this coach, and you have all these coaches that somebody else has brought in, it looks like it's going to be another rebuilding.
Well, that's way down the road. Hopefully things can change.
That's the nature of this business. It truly is.
It really is. When you've got the players, and you look at the roster that we have now assembled, courtesy of Ryan Poles, it should be a lot more impressive than what we saw today.
All right, let's head back out to the phone lines and go out to Deerfield and say hi to Jane. You're up with Happen OB. Go ahead, Jane.
Oh, hi. Guys, I'm a big fan. I just have a question for you. What do you monsters of the Midway think of our quarterback wearing nail polish?
Well, you know, and people have asked me that, and I think what it is, you know, this young man is he's got a lot of confidence, and I think he does it to kind of tweak everybody, kind of like as a prank, just to kind of see what everybody's going to say. And oh, the big tough, you know, nail polish. I don't think Dick Butkus would like it. Do you, OB? But
no.
That, I mean, it's a new day. I don't know. You know, if he would have thrown four touchdowns today, we would all be at the nail salon tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I think I probably wouldn't have called if he would have done that, but.
All right, Jane. Oh, well. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Jane, the biggest thing you can take to the bank or think about, and then it's my opinion, this kid was not prepared. He has not been coached up to a professional level. A number one draft choice, going through four exhibition games, basically almost never playing, and coached up for the opening game here at home against a 6-11 team, and he was not coached properly. He was not brought along since day one after we drafted him. And why am I saying that? Because of what you saw, that pathetic performance. He was terrible this year. This game. Our offense was awful. They didn't do anything. Jane, I don't know how many times I've said it. Running and passing the football today in four quarters, we averaged 37 yards. Running and passing a quarter. You got to be kidding me. That's next to impossible. You know how hard you got to work at that?
You know, Kerry Joseph is the new quarterback coach. Obviously, you know, you got to start looking at him, saying, well, you know, this superstar in the making, why didn't we see it? Why was he not prepared and able to make quick decisions, accurate throws, all the things you have to do? We didn't see it. Somebody on that coaching staff needs to start looking at Kerry Joseph.
I want to welcome one of our new sponsors to the Happen OB postgame show, and they asked the question, how well did the Bears protect the pocket? It's sponsored by the Protect and Grow Retirement Plan by TJ Stearns, always protecting your pocket. Call them at 800-640-2256. I think we got the answer to that.
Well, we gave up three sacks. Could have been a lot worse. You know, he did a little Houdini on two or three of them, but
yes.
But essentially, the offensive line had a big part in this. You know, Tennessee was playing on our side of the football after the snap, and you can't have that. And sooner or later, whether it's Ryan Bates, who got run over a couple of times at right guard, or Nate Davis, somebody needs to kind of grab this situation and get this offensive line settled down.
You know what? I like to ask a question. Where in the world of professional football is this guy, Nate Davis? Where is this guy?
I'm making a lot of money, I'll tell you that.
It's yeah, unbelievable.
I agree with you.
You can throw that on the pile with you know, Getsy and all these other guys that obviously haven't worked out.
312-981-7200. Let's get one more in here before we have to take another time. I will go out to Rolling Meadows and say hi to John. John, you're up with Happen OB. Go ahead.
How you doing, guys? Great to hear you again. First play, we ran swift 7 yards. Second play, we throw a screen to the left, lose 3 yards. We got We got 3 yards to go. We don't have our franchise quarterback throw a pass. He throws it behind the line of scrimmage, and he gets sacked. My stomach turned, and I'm like, here we go again. Great call playing.
Yeah. Hey, Johnny.
You guys have a great day.
Yeah.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, John. And, yeah, thanks for pointing that out. And you know where that falls? Falls right on coaching. That's where what you just said, that falls right on the coach's head. Now, you pick a coach. Is it Eberflus? Is it the offensive coordinator, the quarterback coach, or is it the all above? It's all above.
You know why you throw that pass? Because you do not have confidence in him throwing the ball down the field. And we didn't see it the entire preseason with any of the quarterbacks, even Williams. Unfortunately, they get into a game, and then they you know, everything tightens up, and again, Swift, he had a couple of really nice runs on first down, and yet we would be in second and one, third and one, and we couldn't convert. This game is about being efficient and effective. We were neither today.
Well, the first half, third down conversions, 0-6. That's, I mean, you can't have that, folks. Okay, you can't have. You're going to lose a football game. And how the hell we won this game today, obviously it's the football gods were with the Bears.
I looked at you when that screen happened. I couldn't believe that. We talked about it in the preseason show. That was one thing we were so happy that Getsy was gone that we weren't going to see that many of them. Oh, and the second play of the game, we see it.
Yep. Bubble double.
Yeah, they shocked us, didn't they?
Yeah, oh, wow.
Unfortunately.
Never expected that. 312-981-7200, the number. Will take a quick timeout. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, when Rex Grossman's name is brought up during the broadcast, you know things aren't going well.
That's a good point. 312-981-7200. The Bears get a win here today. Back with more Hampton OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago
You're
Bears.
You're entirely too critical, Dan.
Stonehouse.
That's our Mueller Auto Group game-changing moment. Block punt touchdown, sponsored by the Mueller family of dealerships in Offen Estates, Gurnee, Highland Park, and Merrillville.
Think about that.
There's a winner right there, Mark Mueller, the Mueller family. Yeah. They're great. They're wonderful people.
You know, and think about it. We don't score a touchdown on offense. Three field goals. That's it. Three measly field goals. It's
the stats that came from this game, Dan, are beyond embarrassing or whatever term or terminology you want to put it, and we actually won a football game.
You said a mouthful there.
There's things I want to say, but I can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, and essentially, you get these situations that come up during the course of a season. It's kind of like a do or die. Hey, we need a total revamp look at what we're trying to accomplish on offense before we get on that plane Saturday.
I'll tell you what, Danny, what a great statement you just made. Folks, if you think that's something really to celebrate that went on, I'm going to tell you what, these guys should go home and look at this game and reevaluate themselves as an individual, as a Chicago Bear player, and as a team. That was pathetic. And again, how the hell we won that football game, I'll never know.
Hampton will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Let's head back out to our phone lines and welcome in. Let's go out to L.A. and say hi to Joe. Joe, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Hey, you guys. Joe from L.A. Love the show. Every time I check in to see to feel better about such a bad performance on offense. OB, I knew we were in bad shape as soon as I saw that bubble screen. And I know people have commented on that. But where the hell were the tight ends today? No tight end play.
I know.
No over-the-top passes.
One pass.
One pass
for our tight end, who is a hell of a target. He's 6'5", 6'6". Joe, I mean, he's got good hands. He can get separation. I mean, all he's got to do is throw the ball up in the air to him. One pass. I believe that's what they threw to him one time. This guy, he should be targeted. He should catch minimum 5, 6, 7 passes, open it up in the middle, so it will eventually open up the sidelines. And we don't throw to him.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, everybody says it. Hey, that's a smart quarterback. That's its security blanket. You know, you get the ball to your tight ends. Gerald Everett caught one pass
every
for
minus 1 yard. Every other team does it, Dan. Every other team does it.
The smart ones do.
Yeah.
You look at the Chiefs, when they struggle, hey, they find a way to get Kelce involved.
Yeah, that was a big weapon last year, and Kmet with the big money deal, and a great player.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the 8 yard, the 10, the 9, the 14 yard gain, you could have it all day going up and down the field with him, and we don't call him. We don't call his number.
Yep.
We don't call a play.
And it's not like they needed him in to block because they weren't getting much with the running game anyway.
No, and certainly, at some point you got to think that Shane Waldron obviously, you know, was way out of kilter today because
he stunk it up, Dan.
He did.
Coach, as an offensive coordinator,
you know,
stunk it up.
And there's a big difference between calling plays and executing a game plan. We didn't have one. It was grab bag from start to finish, and it's unacceptable.
All right, next up, let's go out to Lake Zurich and say hi to Mike. Mike, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
That center that they had as a backup totally sucked today. He couldn't block anybody.
I agree. Coleman Shelton, you know, came in with, you know, favorable reviews. Maybe that's why the Rams, you know, unloaded him. But at some point, you got to think, well, you know, it was going to be better than what we had last year with Cody Whitehair rolling the ball back to Justin Fields, and then, of course, him trying to pick it up and run. It wasn't good today.
It was like a revolving door. He was like a revolving door spinning around. Okay, boys, here, keep coming.
Yeah, and you know, even if Caleb Williams did want to throw,
good call, Mike.
There was no time. I mean, there was zero time to operate back there. 312-981-7200. Bears win at 24-17. Let's go to Homer Glenn and say hi to Rudy. Rudy, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. You guys are the best show on TV, on radio.
Thank you.
Listen, I got a question. What's wrong with that right side? You were just talking about Davis. The first quarter, we banged the whole left side. We didn't have any running plays to the right with Darnell Wright and Nate Davis over there. Plus, there were some passes tipped over there. Don't these guys know how to hold a block? A designed play has passing lanes designed in there in the scheme. These guys are letting – we got so many – how many passes did we get tipped? Two or three at least, right?
Yeah, Rudy, let me tell you what you're saying. I agree with what you're saying. I'm going to tell you what. There's some guys on this football team. I'm going to tell you what. They couldn't – they're just not good football players. They're just not – and they're starting for us. And how this coaching staff lets these players – I mean, how do you get hurt in a Chicago Bear training camp? How do you get hurt? You don't do anything. And when the games come around – and again, Nate Davis, I still don't know. Where was he today? Where was he?
Well, he started – he was out there the first quarter. A lot of, you know, very poor play. Next thing you know, Ryan Bates is in. And then he's getting run over at right guard. And then Darnell Wright, who last year, our first-round draft pick, who did pretty well last year. But unfortunately, we ran a toss play, and he was so slow getting out. He couldn't block the force, and it winds up, you know, creating a loss. So
I'm going to tell you what.
It's not good.
Yeah, the offensive line was not good today, folks. Okay, anybody that tells you that, they don't know what they're talking about, period. Okay? Our offensive line was terrible. They got beaten. I'm telling you again, and this is important. This is a 6-win-11 team we play today. Okay? And with a new head coach on top of it and a new coaching staff on top of it. All right? There better be some changes in a philosophy, and if you have to make some changes with some people, make the changes, because next week comes real fast. And if you're going to keep playing like this, we're not going to get to catch all the breaks and ball flipping up in the air and doing this and that. We're going to get our backside handed to us.
Your word catch is so perfect. Our offensive line was catching today. They were getting bull rush. Braxton Jones was, you know, getting bull rush back into the lap of the quarterback. And they were getting their hands up, batting balls down.
Remember I screamed? I said, yes. Dan, did you see it? You watch them?
Oh, yeah. It was, like I said, our offensive line, their best move is backward somersaults back into the lap of the quarterback. It's unbelievable.
I got about a minute before we get to our next break. Let's welcome in Ryan from Chicago. Ryan, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
All right, I got a question for you guys. Do you think it was the O-line, or do you think it was the players or the coaches today?
Ryan, bingo, a triple. You hit all three of them. There was nobody. It's great. I mean, fine, you take a win any way you can get it, Ryan, okay? I mean, I'll take it anyway. But, boy, when you have all these new people that were brought in and all these millions and millions of dollars and a new quarterback that's going to take us to heights, my God, did we stink it up, Ryan. We truly did. Each player, I mean, my God, they never even came close to a winning ability. On offense, they were not there. The offensive line didn't block. The running wasn't there. And passing, that sure as hell wasn't there. That's for darn sure.
Yeah.
And the coaching, totally gone. Our coaches today get an F. They did not have, Ryan, I'm telling you, they did not have this team ready to play. Today, in Soldier Field, the opener of the 24 season, they did not have them ready to play.
Everybody wants to know about the offensive line's execution. We're all for it.
Hampton OB is sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. We'll get the news coming up in just a moment here.
Here it comes. Great blitz pick out of Spears, but that gets knocked away from Levis by Darryl Taylor. Loose ball. And out of the pack, it looked like Edwards recovered it. It is Chicago ball inside the Tennessee 35.
Dan Hampton's defensive player of the game, TJ Edwards, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Edwards pretty much all over the place today.
He played a hell of a game.
He did. And you know what? He's just a great linebacker. He likes to mix it up, and he attacks the block, gets off of it. You know, Trumaine Edmonds, the middle linebacker, who, you know, first half of the game, he was standing straight up, getting walled off, and Tennessee was running the ball pretty effectively. Later on, he got into it. But see, this is why you play in the preseason, to learn how to, you know, to kind of get back in a groove, how to hit into blocks, get off of them, shed blocks. You know, wrap up, do all those things. But TJ, yeah, he and Darryl Taylor were easily the two best defenders on the field for us today. And our corners, Tyreek, you know, the big interception and return, and the end of the game, Jalen Johnson had another pick. So, yeah, there were some good spots on defense.
Danny, you know what? The Bears got a gift today.
They did.
They got a gift. They really did. I mean, the other team, they had game one, and they did everything in the second half, basically, to lose the game, okay? They stopped playing hard. They were just trying to wish their way through the next 30 minutes, and it doesn't work. It didn't work.
312-981-7200 is our telephone number.
Well, I just wanted to give a shout-out to a friend of mine, Bobby Spirito. I first met him a few years ago in Elkhart, Indiana. And we've been friends for, God, I don't know, 45, 50 years. And he's a member of the Yacht Club in New Buffalo. And so to all the guys at New Buffalo and Bobby, thank you for being Bear fans. And thank you guys for listening to the show.
Appreciate it. To go to a Yacht Club someday soon.
I'm waiting for my invite.
Andy?
Yeah. I'm going to go buy a captain's hat, too.
Yeah.
312-981-7200.
That long? Before you get the invite?
Let's go back out to the phones and welcome in. Let's go out to Ben. Ben, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, Hamp, this is Ben.
What's
up? I'm just curious to know how you guys feel about Caleb at one this year. It just seems like a number one pick has never been worth it just to draft one guy. Maybe we should have just traded back again. What do you guys think about that?
Well, and again, a lot goes into it. And remember, Troy Aikman got killed his first year. Peyton Manning got killed his first year. So these things happen. But this is a very unusual situation. We're not the worst team in football, which is normally where the number one pick goes. You know, we were kind of middle of the pack. We were 7-10. So we should not only be much better, spot for him to have a platform to be successful, but after you saw what we saw today, are you kidding me? I mean, this what we saw today was the kid that we saw against Notre Dame and against UCLA and all these other teams that were able to put a little pressure on him. There was, the offensive play calling was horrid. The blocking was pathetic. Everybody on offense was just disastrous today. So, yeah, he's going to take some lumps, but there has not been a kid come out of college with his type of skill set, his talent level, in a long time.
But and how about the hype? My God.
And the hype. You know, first overall pick, the Chicago media, they all, everything coochie-coo. Hey, he needs to understand, guess what? It was unacceptable. And somehow, someway, he's got to get with his offensive coaches and let them know, hey, that ain't me, and I don't want it to be me, what you saw today. I've got to find a way to get better. Could have got better if you had played a little more in the preseason. You know, Bill Belichick said, when they asked him about it, he goes, well, he's not accurate. Well, he said, what do you mean he's not accurate? Well, he's 10 of 20. Well, that was what he was in the preseason. Today, can you tell me that he's got a great accuracy? You made a point of three balls that he threw into the dirt. I think it's third, fourth down, precaution. He's just throwing the ball away to, and go ahead and get off the field and put the punt team on. He doesn't want to turn it over. But, hey, we got to see a whole lot more.
Danny, they didn't play the kid basically in the exhibition season. Again, why? You got to get ready for the season. But I'm going to tell you, this kid should have been out there playing, Dan, the first quarter, the second quarter, into the third quarter, or whatever have you. Like, all of a sudden, this kid, opening day, he's supposed to, the good Lord's going to come down and touch him on and put a halo on his head and tell him you're going to be this great offensive quarterback. Doesn't happen that way. And the other thing is, so he didn't play, basically, folks, almost all exhibition season. So now, believe me, folks, when the league starts, when the actual count, the games count, it's all different. It's all dead. Everybody's twice as fast. They hit you twice as hard as during the exhibition season. They were not prepared. He was not prepared. These coaches did not prepare our quarterback, our offense, or our defense. Really, you take the whole mess of it. This coaching staff didn't have them ready to play a league opener. Like, they don't know the difference? Isn't that why they're coaches? You got to coach these kids up. You got to put them in. You got to get them ready to play. Our coaching staff did just the opposite.
On third down.
Don't let them fool you either.
In the second half, we get a little momentum. We block the kick, score. Now we're back in the game. Third down in a very manageable situation. And the ball hits him in his hands, and he drops it and fumbles around and gets it and, runs around and throws it out of the back of the end zone. Hey, you can't – you've got to be better prepared.
You got to play it.
That's simple.
For what it's worth, and again, these are just stats. They go back to 2002, and all the quarterbacks that were drafted with the number one pick overall, until today, none of them had ever won their opener. It was 0-14-1 coming into today. The only one that tied was Kyler Murray back in 2019. He had a 27 game against Detroit. So, again, this is, just to tell you what is expected of opening day quarterback.
He had a 55.1 quarterback.
Yeah, no, rating. I agree.
Well, here, we had a quarterback that had nothing to do with us winning
this
football
game. This is the truth. That's why.
In year 24 in the National Football League. That's next to impossible.
It is. And that's why the numbers don't always tell the story. But, again, it's just one of those oddities as far as those stats that they keep as concerned. Habit OB is sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Take a time out and come back with a little more here in a second.
You know, while we're ripping everybody, the kicking game was fantastic.
Yes, it was.
Think about it. Cairo Santos, 3 out of 3 in field goals, and Torrey Taylor was booming the ball on punt. And I got to tell you, Richard Hightower, the special team coach, which over the years we've had issues, today may have been his best day.
And a good return man, too, in DeAndre Carter. We saw.
How great is it not to have to hold your breath every time we're receiving a punt? And even on the kickoff, he had a 67-yard return.
Yep.
Some good stuff.
All right. Step into a world of vibrant flavors, culture, and celebration at Carnival, a Chicago staple for nearly 20 years. They provided our lunch today, and oh, was it good. From their eclectic Latin fusion cuisine to stunning decor, every detail reflects their motto, live a colorful life. Carnival is not only a dining destination, but also an entertainment hotspot. Thursday night pop-up performances and Samba Fridays. Whether you're dining or hosting a private event, Carnival offers unforgettable experiences. Don't wait. Book your table or event now at CarnivalChicago.com.
Andy, I had that pork dish. It was absolutely outstanding. I don't know how it gets better.
I'm still tasting that skirt steak. Yes, indeed. It was good.
Obviously, we didn't perform how we wanted to. We want to be the most efficient team out there. Myself included, didn't perform the way that I wanted to. I missed a few passes that I normally don't miss, all of these other things. And so I think there's small things that always lead up to big things, make those moments and things like that a lot bigger. They make games a lot closer.
Voice there, Caleb Williams. Happen OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealer, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Bears do win 24-17, but a less than impressive showing by pretty much one side of the ball, at least.
Well, it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
And, you know, you didn't turn the ball over. And you know, Lou Holtz used to say, you take care of the little things, the big things take care of themselves.
And they don't ever pop up. 312-981-7200. That is our telephone number. Let's go. Where are we going to go? We're going to go to South Bend and welcome in Larry. Larry, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Hey, fellas. How are you?
Good.
Oh, great. Hey, I was so impressed with the defense today. I bet we could talk about that the rest of the show. Man, those guys are a top-10 defense, and this team will go as far as they go this year based on what those guys do. Terrific, terrific performance by the defense. With Williams, my question to you guys is, he had three or four balls that were just batted down. How do you coach height? He's only about 6 foot tall, and that could be an issue from here on out. So I don't know how you keep that from happening. Plus, a real positive for the quarterback. He called his own number a couple of different times and really got some good things done there. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Thanks, sir.
All right. Well, the reason he's about 6'1.5". So he's not the biggest guy, but he's not Doug Flutie. So why would it? Well, if the offensive line was being collapsed back in his pocket, and you're taught as a defensive lineman, after about three steps, you get your hands up, and it creates all these obstacles for the quarterback to have to try to throw through. And
that's when the coach should step in and move him out of the pocket.
Well,
get him out of harm's way.
And we talked about
it's called coaching.
Exactly. And if they would have started doing the boot and the waggle earlier, then those defensive linemen wouldn't have just been bull rushing. They would have been worried about losing contain.
Absolutely.
So all of these things go into the fact that we had a horrid game plan from start to finish. And at some point, you kind of think that everybody starts, you know, whiffing the coffee and thinking they're the, you know, hey, we're going to put up 40 and he's going to throw for 400 yards and this is going to be a great, hey, you got to do the little things, and we didn't. We were not prepared. Blocking, throwing, running routes, all those different aspects of the offense. And the one thing that really bothered me, OB, and you talked about it ad nauseum, you know, all last year, the year before, we weren't aggressive throwing the ball down the field.
No,
why?
No.
It was almost like we got spooked. And then we started worrying about, you know, nibbling, throwing the speed screen, you know, on
second. Same thing they did last year, Dan.
Exactly.
Same damn thing.
And that's a coward's game. And this is why we got this kid. We don't ever want to play a coward's game when you got somebody at that position that is capable of throwing the ball like he does.
Why they didn't get him, sprint him out, and move him out of the pocket, I'll never know, especially after the third quarter started, Dan. About halfway through it wasn't working. Move the kid out of there. Strong side, weak side, sprint out, bootlegs, play action bootlegs. Throw the ball down the field. Did we do it? No, we didn't do it, Larry. We did not do it. And again, that's called coaching. I believe we have 29 coaches. 29. I have no idea what these 29 guys did. We won a football game, and again, I'll say congratulations. But that was a pathetic job of coaching, of getting this team ready. And from series to series, quarter to quarter, it was a pathetic game plan. And how the hell we won this football game, I still have no idea.
Well, just to illustrate how pathetic this game plan was and how we were trying to nibble, 29 attempts, 14 catches for 93 yards. So you're averaging per attempt 3 yards or less. The great ones like Tom Brady and those guys, they're at 8 yards per attempt. We're at 3 yards per attempt. That's not even good enough to call pathetic.
Longest completion, 13 yards in the game today. 312-981-7200. Yep, let's go back to the phones. And Huntley, we say hi to Ed. Ed, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. Couple things real quick. After last year's first Green Bay game, I said Eberflus has to go. And then they follow that up with, three or four of those losses, significant, where they had significant leads going into the third and fourth quarter. And after every one, I'm saying, if he's not gone after this game, I don't know what's going on. That's one thing. Velus Jones, Mr. Fumbleitis last year.
I don't understand why he's still on this team. Almost cost them a game today. And lastly, the offensive line. I don't understand why Ryan Poles, you know, former offensive lineman, doesn't understand the importance of a good offensive line. You got a bunch of rag dolls up there, and I don't care if you got Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers. If the quarterback doesn't have time to throw, if that line can't open up holes for their running backs, it doesn't matter if God Almighty is back there. So that's my comments. Love you guys. Thanks for taking my call.
All right,
hey,
thanks.
Ed, it's a very simple. I've been saying this. I couldn't tell you how many years the offensive line and somebody in this Bear organization has got to understand, if you do have this quality quarterback, what's the thing that you got to have? Ask the brilliant coaches in this league. You've got to have five guys called an offensive line, center, two guards, two tackles, that can take on from game to game and keep your quarterback upright. That's how you're going to win. Just look at the good teams out there. You think a quarterback that's running for his life and getting knocked all over the place, like that's a team that's going to win games and win you a Super Bowl? And I don't, for the life of me, understand. You mean to tell me, Dan, at one of these coaches or anybody in Poles' area, you don't know you got to have five guys to make a quarterback great? You got to have them.
Absolutely. You know, and they tried to address it last year. They a first-round draft pick and a couple of guys they signed free agent. That all didn't, you know, come to fruition. Now, two more, Coleman Shelton and Ryan Bates, who played most of the game at center and right guard, wasn't a whole lot of upgrade. I didn't see it. But I think Darnell Wright, he backed up a step or two. And Braxton Jones, who has some real good athletic skills as a left tackle, he still hadn't got strong. You've had 2 years to get this kid in the weight room and to get him to where he understands how to stop a bull rush. If not, you're going to keep getting, you know, the quarterback flushed and batted balls, all those different things.
Yes.
So, the offensive line was in disarray today. And I will tell you this. Chris Morgan kept his job last year. Everybody else in offense.
When the hell are they going to figure this out, Dan?
Well,
that's one of the most important areas on a team is the offensive line. If you don't have them, I don't care who. Jesus Christ could be back there at quarterback. Guess what? He's going to get clobbered.
Yep. Yeah. And you know what? Your point about Ryan Poles as an ex-offensive lineman. You'd think, you know, that would be a premium, you know, position to upgrade. He's swinging and missing. He's not making a whole lot of good decisions on that.
All right, 30 minutes remaining in our show here at our post-game show, Hamp and OB, which is sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, that's right. It's going to take this guy right next to me home tonight, the Silverado.
Nice. Yeah. Very good. Very good. Safely, of course. We know that.
Of course.
Of course. 312-981-7200 is our number.
But you know what? We won, the team covered, and we still get to scream about how bad it was. So it's been a pretty good day. We got a lot of calls.
It's a win-win for us.
Stay on the line, folks.
24-17, hey, the final.
Things are what they are, Dan.
Let's get into the WGN Radio newsroom right now.
You know, when we got into the locker room, I think it was around 15 minutes, we got in there, and Coach was like, guys, the most teams that I've been on, all these other things, you know, y'all walked in here and said to each other that, no, we're not going to lose this game. We're going to go out there. We're going to keep fighting. We got this. We got this. And we weren't shaming on anybody. We weren't, you know, defense not, you know, being on offense, all these other things.
Caleb Williams, I'm always said in the locker room at halftime when the Bears were down big. Have it all be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. It was not a work of art by any stretch of the imagination, especially offensively, but the defense and special teams came through in a 24-17 win over the Titans.
Like I said, hey, you know, it was a blank show until the defense and special teams kind of took over in the third and fourth quarter. But just real quick, folks, you know, a football team, traditionally, it's got some hard men when you got a good team, you've got some hard men, guys like Doug Atkins and Ed Obradovich and Dick Butkus, people like that. It's like, where's the leadership? I know that Caleb Williams was voted a leader. Okay, I got it. But you know what that tells me? They ain't got no leadership. If a guy just shows up and goes through a training camp and plays about 30 plays and he's a leader, he's a captain, he ain't got no leadership. So where does it come from? It should come from the coach. Evidently, we didn't get a whole lot of leadership from the coach at halftime, right? It's about the guys going, oh, we're going to keep fighting and we're not going to lose. That's where your leaders step up. Evidently, we got a little void there. What do you think, OB?
Well, I can't argue with you on that one. I just, you know, when the camera spots on him on the sidelines, okay, does it look like there's a blank look on his face, or is that just me?
You're referring to Eberflus?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's right.
He's staring, and I don't know what the hell he's looking at or whatever, and it doesn't look right to me.
Yeah, it was interesting a couple of times on the sideline today.
Maybe the word perplexed.
Yeah, or
like he doesn't understand what's going on, and maybe that explains a lot. Right?
Yeah, or he's getting words from the press box or something. I have no
All
idea.
Right, let's get to the call.
312-981-7200. We'll say hi to Kareem in Plainfield. You're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Hey boys, question for you. I cannot remember a game that I watched the Bears defense and special teams that tackled so well. It seemed like everyone went in hard, wrapped up, took their man down, instead of this garbage we've been seeing for years where, you know, a safety goes in and just bashes into a guy and hopes he falls down. And I just saw it just tackle after tackle after tackle, and wondering if you guys saw the same thing I did. One little tidbit, some guy called earlier that said, oh, Ditka would have sat Caleb down and put in Bajent. Give me a break. I love Iron Mike, but isn't he the same guy that probably cost us a Super Bowl berth by shoving Doug Flutie down our throats? Get out of town. Anyway, let me know your thoughts on this tackling, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Kareem.
No, we didn't have anybody else, so we put the Flutie in. All right, guys, you know, and that is a byproduct of, you know, stressing the fundamentals, because they're not tackling in practice anymore. You know, they're not. So kudos to the defense. And I'll tell you who really tackled well was the corners. Tyrick Stevenson, Jalen Johnson, Kyler Gordon, normally the DBs are the ones come flying in with no arms, you know, the Eddie Jackson special. But these guys, they were wrapping people up. We know TJ Edwards, it was maybe his best game as a Bear. So, yeah, there was a lot of good stuff. And back to Daryl Taylor. Folks, I'm telling you, if you go back and watch this, he affected the game more than any one player because he was doing such a great job of turning the corner and getting into the backfield and assaulting the quarterback. So, yeah, there's a lot of good stuff that I saw today that gives me hope moving forward.
All right, out to Chattanooga, Tennessee, and Jimmy. Jimmy, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. This is for Hamp. What do you think won you guys a Super Bowl?
Well,
your defense.
Yeah.
Defense won your Super Bowl. You had a mediocre offense, but you had a defense that dominated, pitched two shutouts in the playoffs. Okay? And if I remember, the first game of that season, you guys were playing Tampa Bay and you were losing at halftime. And Buddy Ryan, if I heard the story right, Buddy Ryan took the defense in the room and said, okay, ladies, we can either ratchet it up or we can pack it in. And you guys came out in the second half and completely dominated Tampa Bay, managed to score a few touchdowns, and you won the game. And then you reeled off, 11 more straight. So if Caleb Williams can perform mediocrely and that defense performs like it did in the second half, we'll be okay.
Well, let's hope that you're right, but guess what? C.J. Stroud is a different kind of cat than what we saw today in Will Levis. So we're going to find out a whole lot about this football. I mean, the coaches, the offense, the defense, kick it, everything. It's going to be all hands on deck because I'm telling you, the Texans, they are for real. And if we can go down there and the offense, you know, they perform, protect, do all the things that we expect them to do, and we get a win, now you're talking. Now you're 2-0, and you get to thump your chest a little bit.
Well, let's see if they can correct what went on today. Even though we won, let's see if they, especially offensively, let's see if they can correct the mistakes that were made play by play, quarter by quarter, and let's see if they can come up with a game plan that really works. It's up to the coaches now to take this team to the next level, and they have to do it, Dan, because today was unacceptable.
Texans won on the road today, by the way. They win at Indianapolis 29-27.
Great game. I watched it out of the corner of my eye. I mean, it was a head knocker.
Yep. They went in there. C.J. Stroud, 234 yards in the air, a couple of touchdowns, and they now have the former Bengals running back, Joe Mixon. He carried the ball 30 times, 159 yards, and a touchdown. So it is a little bit of an animal.
And we average, folks, 37 yards running and passing a quarter. According to what you just said.
Okay. Joe Mixon ran for
I'm not
for
making this stuff up, folks.
Joe Mixon ran for more yards on the road in Indianapolis than we gained the entire football game.
As an offense. That's crazy to think.
Bring your big boy pads.
Yeah, let's get one more in before we take our break here. We'll go out to downtown here in Chicago and say hi to Paulie. Paulie, you're up with Amp and OB. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Great show. Just love listening to you.
Thank you.
Eight captains, 29 coaches. I mean, that's roughly a coach for every two guys. But I didn't call for that reason. Let's see if I got this straight. We spent two first-round picks within the first 10, 12 picks, whatever it was. Spent all kinds of money. Got new free agents. Got new coaches. Even got new turf. And this team is the exact same team that ended last season. No offense, going to depend on their defense. I don't care if Caleb is, you know, the next coming. Without a line, he's going nowhere. Imagine Bagent now behind two or three great first-round picks, offensive linemen. I mean, I just do not know how they approach football. You win it in the line. That's how you win football.
I agree.
Well, there's no question that Tennessee dominated both sides of the line of scrimmage the first 35, 40 minutes of the game. I mean, and you're exactly right, sir. And, you know, back to what won the Super Bowl, you said the offense was near. We led the league running the ball for like six straight years with Walter. And that has such great value, you know, to a football team in so many different ways. But back to the point being, hey, what are we going to hang our hat on? You would think with some of the skill position, you know, with the level of talent we should be deadly throwing the ball, you know, in the intermediate zone and all. We didn't even try today. It was a bust out as far as what we were trying to do in offense. Just awful.
All right, we're going to burn our final timeout here. Hamp and OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. We'll get more of your thoughts, and we'll talk a little bit more about this Bears win, which is in quotations at this point, 24-17 the win over the Tennessee Titans. Back with more in just a moment here on 720 WGN.
They are kickstand, we their kickstand. You know, it's going to be games like this. It's the NFL, you know. And anything happened at any moment. So the fact that they still like, went out there with their head up, a team full of dogs, you know, at some point it's going to be the offense helping us out, you know. So it is what it is. We still got the win. I'm happy for the guys, but it's back to the drawing board Tuesday.
Cornerback Tyreek Stevenson. Saying it's all going to even out, right?
Back to the drawing board.
Yeah.
That's normally week eight when you haven't scored a touchdown in 4 weeks. Back to the drawing board. That's what he said. That's what he thought about our offense. Back to the drawing board. I love it.
Hamp and OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. We have another new sponsor that's joined us on our pregame show and on our postgame show, Elgin Recycling, where you'll get top dollar for all your scrap metal. And they're asking the important question, what play do the Bears need to scrap from today's game?
There's no question. It's the Vajayjay, Velus Jones Jr. We don't need to see him returning kicks ever again. Ever again. You can't trust him. Now, you know, he's had a couple of bright spots running the ball. He could, you know, but you know, and I know, how long till the fumble?
Yeah, okay, that's the thing.
So we need to scrap Velas and his and him trying to return kicks. That's suicide.
312-981-7200. Let's get a couple in before we have to end our program here today. And again, night game next week, so we'll be on a little bit later. We'll tell you about that in just a few moments. Let's say hi to Steve in Downers Grove. You're up with Hampton O'B. Go ahead, Steve.
Howdy, boys.
Hey, Bob.
Guys, I was at the game, and, you know, the excitement before the first kickoff was palpable. The letdown at halftime was twice. It was ridiculous. And I got to tell you, the offensive line, I was sitting in the end zone. I watched the guy do a backward somersault. It was appalling. But I got to tell you, what might be more depressing than anything that I saw out there at the game today was a quarterback that dropped back and his head never left his intended receiver. I never once saw him look from one to two to three anywhere other than where he was going to throw the ball. And I get, you know, a lot of those routes, you know, that your screen pass, your flat, a lot of those were, you know, quick right away throws, but it was not what I wanted to see. I had seen enough of that last year. I thought this was going to be something new, and I got to tell you, that left a sickness in my stomach just thinking about what we've been waiting for this year, and just to see it happening again this year was quite depressing.
Steve, let me tell you something. That, you know what? That kid should have been ready to play. He should have been ready to play. He wasn't even close. They never had him ready. That kid should have been playing. We had four exhibition games. I've said it before. Damn it, I'll say it again. Listen, God's not going to come down and tap you on the head and say you're going to, you know, throw for 400 yards today and do all this. You got to work at it. You got to have a coaching staff that understands this. You got to have the people that are going to play in the exhibition season. You've got to get them ready together. The 11 guys on offense, 11 guys on defense. They start every exhibition game, let them play a quarter or two series or something. And then by the third exhibition game, play into the middle of the third quarter. Get them acclimated. That's why you play the damn games. I don't understand why Eberflus can't figure this out. And the other 29 coaches, excuse me, 28. We have 29 coaches here. 29! And this is what you see? They didn't have an answer. Didn't know what to do in four quarters to make him get out of the pocket. What kind of passes to call? What kind of line blocking are you going to? Are you going to zone? Are you going to man-to-man? Are you shifting over or under to the weaker, to the strong side? All these things. You know what? I don't think they know what the hell I'm talking about.
You know, the other thing that I noticed, and there were several receivers who were in the same general area of where the pass was going to go. I don't know if that hindered Caleb Williams at all where he wanted to throw. One of them looked like it was a real in-between situation where he had DJ Moore coming over, and I think he had Roma Dunze going toward the sideline, and they were just so congested, it just didn't seem like someone was running the right route.
To your point, OB.
That's... Okay.
That was on a busted play. That was when Caleb, the ball hits him in the hands. He drops it, and then it's a scramble play.
You can't flip that switch on, guys.
No, but the switch had to be switched. You know, 3 weeks ago, when we decided, oh, we're good enough. We think we're set to go to the Super Bowl, so nobody has to play in the last game.
Unbelievable.
So the 29 coaches are so deluded that they kind of, you know, thought this offense was able to, you know, operate at such a high level that they didn't need to do anything in that final preseason game. And I get it. Everybody's scared about hurt, but there were other games. There was other things. But, and again, I don't think the way that the whole thing kind of played out, where they had 2 weeks between the final preseason game and the regular season start, that obviously didn't help us. That, you know, would have helped a Tom Brady or a 10-year vet quarterback. But just like Steve said, you know, Caleb was having an awful lot of problems making decisions, and he was eyeballing receivers.
Because he hasn't played enough
exactly.
in this system.
Exactly. So why wouldn't you have played him in all those different aspects of preseason games in different situations where you could say, now, do you remember what happened here, blah, blah, blah. You don't know until you go through it. He hasn't went through it. And that's why you get a stat line like what he has today. He had 29 attempts, 14 completions for less than 100 yards. That's, folks, that's dime a dozen quarterback stats right there. No way good enough.
And we won a game. Can you imagine that?
Won a ball game, and another ball game coming up next week, Sunday night affair. So we'll be on with you at 6 o'clock for our pregame show as the Bears take on the Houston Texans down in Houston.
You just can't. When these exhibition games are there, you've got to put your players in. Look at all the other teams. They play their quarterbacks. They don't play them the whole game, that's
right.
For sure. But at least they start them. You get an average the same guy starting every game. And then when you get ready to go for the first game of the season, you're ready because you've been doing it. And you've been working through exhibition games. We don't do it. We got a guys running around in T-shirts and shorts.
Yep.
And, you know, folks, look, you know, the final preseason game, they're not going to put their starting defense out there, and they're not going to have all these exotic coverages that they've worked on and tailored to stop your offense. I got it. But still, very simple parts of this offense, we were awful at today. Fumble snap, couldn't block, basic drop back, receivers, you know, clouding certain areas of the field together. All these things, they've got to be cleaned up. And guess what? Sunday night's coming pretty quick.
All right. Thanks to Sammy and Jack and Eli back behind the glass for helping us out today.